In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul ends his epistle with teaching and exhortation. As we read in verses 1 to 8, it is not for us to know the day or the hour of the second coming, but we are to be watchful for it. In verses 9 to 10, we do not need to fear the second coming, because we're saved in Jesus Christ. In verses 11 to 13, we are therefore to comfort and edify each other in these things. And then he exhorts the church to highly esteem your elders. Then verses 14 to the end, there's quick, sharp exhortations. Exhort, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, do not render evil for evil, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and may the very God of peace sanctify you completely. But for this evening, so I want to focus on only one exhortation as given in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this, of course, is a very fitting text for this evening's sermon. What is the Lord's Supper called? Often the Eucharist, which is the Greek word for thanksgiving. And we partake of the supper in thanksgiving, and we respond to the grace given in the Lord's Supper by thanksgiving. And as you know, at the end of the communion season for 400 years, the last sermon is always a sermon on thanksgiving. So let us consider this text on thanksgiving. But I want to be rather simple tonight. I want us simply to have an overview of biblically what does it mean to give thanks to God. And we'll ask four questions. What is thanksgiving to God? Why do we give thanksgiving to God? What are we thankful to God for? And how do we give thanks to God? So, first of all, what is thanksgiving? In everything, give thanks. We use this word a lot. I am thankful for you. I am thankful for what I have. If a young child is ungrateful, you come up to them and you say, son, daughter, child, you need to learn to be thankful. In this nation, we have a day set apart, providentially, and that's right, good and proper, Thanksgiving Day every November. But what do you mean with Thanksgiving? What are you doing on Thanksgiving? Next month, when you gather with your family for Thanksgiving Day, do you know what you're doing? So what is thanksgiving? The Greek word has the basic idea of appreciating something that's given to you and being grateful for it. But the main Hebrew word in the Old Testament has a rather richer meaning than this. The one word is translated with many words such as confession, acknowledging, praising, blessing, giving thanks. The idea in the Old Testament is recognition, valuing, declaring. You recognize something good, beneficial, that which you recognize is important to you. You appreciate it. You value it. And therefore, you declare it with praise, blessing, and gratitude. For example, Psalm 18:49. I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 106:1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You see that? God is good and has given goodness. You recognize it. You have appreciated, valued it. And therefore you must confess and acknowledge by returning it with praise. And you notice in these two verses, and if you study your Bible, thanksgiving and praise, which are two words, at least in these contexts, are often parallel in dozens and dozens of texts. And therefore, putting this basic understanding together, we can define thanksgiving as this. Thanksgiving is the act of acknowledging God's gracious works and goodness towards undeserving mankind, responding with a heart of faith, love, appreciation, and gratitude, and thanking and praising God through word, song, and obedience. That's thanksgiving. So again, do you give thanks? There are three key components to the biblical view of thanksgiving that we must mention and emphasize. Otherwise, we'll be misunderstood and conclude with unbiblical conclusions. The first thing is, thanksgiving is God-centered. When you give thanks, it's not a mere feeling, it's an expression from one to an object. If someone gives you something, you don't just feel thankful, that's not thankfulness. You actually, it's a verb, you give thanks to the one who has given you the gift. Psalm 75:1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. You recognize that God is the great giver. And therefore, you give thanks to him. And our thankfulness is not merely to God, but to God who is triune. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the great givers of all life. The triune God is our Creator. In the beginning, God created. He created through the Word. And He created by the Spirit hovering over the deep. God the Father, Son, and Spirit created you when you were in the womb of your mother. We can all sing Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And even when we're in the womb of our mothers, He knew our substance because He created us body and soul. Life is from the great giver Himself. And the triune God is also the governor of all things, who upholds all things by the word of His power. Father, Son, and Spirit send forth every day rain and sun to the good and to the evil, to the just and to the unjust. Psalm 104 says the Spirit comes and gives life to the grass, to plants. He gives it so the animals can eat food. And then man can eat food in the animals and in the plants. Everything we have in time and space, our life and our experience, our personalities, our gifts, our talents, our jobs, our children, our parents, our siblings, our cousins, the Bible, the church, the nation, everything comes from God. And the triune God, of course, is our salvation. Well, we're all sinners transgressing His law, but as we heard this morning, in love He came for us. In Jesus Christ, we have a mediator between God and men, reconciling us to God. We have all the glorious and beautiful benefits of the gospel, freely given by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, revealed to us in the Scripture alone, ending with the glory of God alone. And as He is the great giver, therefore the object is God Himself. And if you listen, and if you read for the next month, you will discover the world, or at least in the United States of America, the vast majority of people do not know what to do with Thanksgiving. You'll hear and you read of people saying, I am so thankful. For what? For all the things I have in my life. Okay, that's good. But who are you thankful to? And often they're thankful to themselves because they got it. They're just thankful that they have these things because they got them themselves. That's not thankfulness. It must be thanking an object. Are you of the world? Do you merely have the feeling of thankfulness, or do you actually give thanks unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? But secondly, an essential thing about this is that the one who gives thanks recognizes and values with their hearts that God the Father, Son, and Spirit is the giver. And this means only born-again Christians with faith in Christ can ever truly give thanks. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Because everything is given by the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And therefore, only them who are born again, who have faith in Christ, will they have acknowledgement and acceptance with God for thankfulness. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. When unconverted people give thanks to God, it is an abomination in the sight of God. Because He sees the sin that stains their supposed thanksgiving. And their thanksgiving, at best, is a twisted view that they are more thankful for the gift than the giver. You see, the true believer who is thankful to God put more emphasis on the giver than the gift. Richard Baxter writes, "True thankfulness kindles a heart of love to the giver for the gift and brings the heart still nearer unto God by all His mercies." And contrast that with the unbeliever who might say they believe in God, and of course there's many who do because of Romans 1, but they are more thankful for the gift than the giver. But the true believer is thankful for the giver more than the gift. But thirdly, what must be emphasized is thanksgiving is a verb, an active verb. And so if you do not do it, you're not giving thanks. You might feel it, you might be it in a certain way, but you are not grateful or giving thanks unless you're actually doing it. And as our definition states, it's with a heart of faith, love, appreciation and gratitude you declare to God Himself praise in word, song and obedience. And we'll come back to this in our last heading, of course. So this is what it means to give thanks. Secondly, why do we give thanks to God? Well, Paul tells us, in everything give thanks for, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We all want to know what God's will is for our lives, don't we? We all daily, I hope, we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But too often when we speak about God's will, we're speaking of things we do not and we should not be entering into. Too often our questions are to do with God's, not His revealed will, but His decretal will. That which is secret and unknown to man. And we as people need to learn to be humble. Psalm 131, verse 1. Here, this is a wonderful psalm if you want to learn what humility means. Lord, my heart is not haughty. So how do you know this man's heart is not prideful and haughty? Mine eyes are not lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great things or in things too high for me. God's decree is too high for us. We're not to know God's decree. And when we try to enter the secret will of God, we're prideful and we're trying to be God. But Deuteronomy 29:29 is crystal clear. The things which belong unto the Lord our God belong unto Him. But the things which are revealed belong unto us and our children. That's what you should be concerned with, the revealed will of God. This is not to deny we can't know our election. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 4 and 5 is clear, knowing your election. But how do you know your election? Not by knowing the secret will of God, by knowing the revealed will of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I do believe. I am saved. How did I come to believe? It was not of myself. It was God's election from eternity and given by irresistible grace. But the revealed will is for you and me. And what's God's will for your life, brother and sisters? To give thanks to God. To give thanks to God. This means you are to glorify God. Doing God's will is to glorify Him. And when you praise God and give thanks, you glorify Him. Psalm 50, verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So when you come and you recognize everything in your life has been given by God Himself, freely, graciously, mercifully, and you are thanking Him and praising Him, it glorifies Him. Because He's the one who gives it, therefore He gets the recognition. But if we withhold thanksgiving, we're glorifying ourselves. And we're dishonoring God. Thanksgiving is first and foremost an act of worship. That's why it's an element of worship in the sense of prayer, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. The Lord's Supper, Eucharist, thanksgiving. And so we are to worship God and glorify Him by doing His will and thanking Him. But secondly, doing His will means we're doing our duty. Giving thanks here is in the imperative mood. It's a command. And it's a present continuous command. Continuously give thanks to God. And it is the will of God that we do this command, obedience. It is our duty. And therefore, we as men and women, as we saw this morning, have been delivered from sin, and we walk after the Spirit. We will do our duty, and we will give thanks unto the Lord God. The first commandment this is keeping, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we keep this commandment by thanking Him and praising Him for all things. But thirdly, doing God's will and thanking Him is for our own good. When God gives His will for us, it's always for our good. When He says, thou shalt not kill, it's for our good, it's beneficial. When He says, thou dost not covet, when He says, remember the Sabbath day, as we've been studying in the Sabbath school, it's for our good. And therefore, it's not a mere duty, it's a delightful, spiritual duty. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see that link? You've been built up and growing. You have faith, abounding with thanksgiving. If you do God's will and give your life to giving thanks to God, your faith will grow. Because your faith will look upon the object who gives you. You're thinking of all the innumerable blessings He sends to you, temporal blessings, spiritual blessings. And as your faith is daily, weekly, monthly, annually recognizing and giving thanks, your faith will be strengthened. But your love will also be strengthened. Because as He gives things to you, your love for Him will grow. Does that not even happen horizontally? If someone is very gracious and good and kind to you and helps you, does your love for him or her not grow? Thomas Manton, thanksgiving is an act of love, and then it cherisheth and feedeth love. That's what it does. God's giving to you is out of love. And when you receive His love, it feeds and increases your love for Him. And it's also good for you in your joy. Do you struggle with Christian joy? Brother and sister, are you struggling with spiritual joy? One way you can grow in joy is to be thankful and to give thanks to God. Psalm 97:12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks. Because when you're giving thanks, you're recognizing the plentiful goods of God coming down from heaven, and it will increase your joy. How good is God to me? My health, my life, my children, my family, my church, my salvation, my skills, my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my country, my community, my upbringing. Everything is a gift of God, freely. And it will bring joy, joy to your soul. When you think of the gospel and the freeness and the fullness of it, how can you not be joyful? Rejoice in the Lord, I say. And I say again, rejoice in the Lord. When salvation came to the city of Samaria in Acts chapter 8, what happened in that city? Great joy was in that city. When you forget Christ and His benefits, no wonder you're not full of joy. But when you're reminded of Christ and His benefits, as we were this morning, we are filled with joy. Doing His will is good for us, and it will keep us from complaining. Oh, how much we complain. Oh, how prideful to think we deserve anything. I deserve that job. I deserve that car. I deserve this type of thing in my life. And if I don't get it, oh, I mumble and complain. No, my friends, the only thing you deserve is the wrath of God. And the very fact you have life is a gift of God. And if you are someone who is daily recognizing God's will in your life, providing, you will cease from complaining and you will continuously give thanks. But fourthly, since it's the will of God in Jesus Christ to give thanks, if we don't do it, we're sinning. Going against God's commandment, imperative mood. Going against God's will in Jesus Christ, we are sinning. What's the mark of the reprobate? Unthankfulness. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. When we don't give thanks, we're acting like the reprobate, the ungodly, the unrighteous, the wicked, the unnatural. When you see a child, maybe you're out in the store, maybe you're out shopping, and you see a child just grabbing and desiring and coveting, and the mother or the father comes and gives them, they're just so ungrateful, and there's such an unthankful child. You think there's such ugliness in that child. This child doesn't know how good and kind the father and the mother is. There's just an ugliness in a child not being thankful. How much more ugly in the child of God who is not thankful. And why are we so tempted to be unthankful? Pride. Pride, pride, pride. Pride makes us forget. Did we not read in Deuteronomy chapter 8? God sending them into a land full of wheat and honey and milk and fig trees and vines, and He's going to build them homes, and He's going to help them in their herds and their animals and their fields and their harvests. And He says, verse 14, then thine high heart be lifted up, pride. And thou forget the Lord thy God, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power, my might, and mine hands has gotten me this well. I have done it all myself. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. If we're not thankful to God for everything we have, then we're basically prideful men and women. I did it. I got up this morning. I was able to protect my own life as I was sleeping and not die. I had the power myself as I was sleeping not to be robbed. I had the power as I was sleeping that no one in my family died. And when I wake up, my lungs and my heart and my brain and everything in me, I have the power to do it. And everything I need today as a mother, as a father, as a worker, as a student, I can do it. And when we have good things from God, our homes, our families, our skills, our church, we don't give thanks. We take it for granted. We're familiar. It's pride. it will always be like this. We need to remember it is God who has given these things, and God has given us the power, and therefore we remember and will be full of thankfulness. Or forgetfulness. We will not record God's goodness. As we were talking about on Friday night, we live 100 miles an hour. We don't stop and think. God gives no thankfulness, and he will judge. Hosea chapter 2 verse 8, speaking of the church. For she did not know that I gave her corn, wine, oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, and he will take it away from her. God blessed Israel with all these things, saying, recognize me, thank me, follow me, obey me, and they did not recognize God gave it. The Bible says we need to seek these things out and record them. Psalm 111 verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. God's people are to seek out God's works and take pleasure in them. And one of the ways we take pleasure is to give thanks. How often do you stop and just think what God is doing in your life? How often do you stop and just think, how is God blessing me in my life? Or are we going from A to B to C to D and we're not taking any breath to see God so good to us? Thomas Manton again. A heart deeply affected with God's providence will take all occasions to praise God and give thanks to his name. Every single day. Let me repeat that just in case you did not hear. Every single day, let us stop and think how good and kind and plentiful our God is. And as we recognize that, value the things he's given that day, and declare with gratitude and praise him for it. At the end of every week, before the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day is on the first day and the end of the week is the seventh day, stop. How has God been good to me this week? Praise him and thank him for it. At the end of every month, and we find this a wee bit easier, at the end of every year, or on Thanksgiving Day every year as well, stop. And don't just feast and be with your family and say you feel thankful. Stop and think. And verb, give thanks to God. Thirdly, what are we to be thankful for? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything. Give thanks for God being God and who he is. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. His chesed, that is. We heard of his chesed on Saturday. We heard of the abounding kindness of David to Mephibosheth as a picture of Christ to us. Let us thank God for being who he is and all his excellencies. Let us give thanks for Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Indescribable gift. A gift that is so marvelous, so wonderful, so lovely, that words simply cannot adequately describe. And because salvation in all its parts and forms, Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're regularly meditating on, and therefore you are regularly thankful for. Give thanks for every food and feast you have. Acts 14:17. He left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. If we're not doing this, we're sinning. Thank God for rain. Don't mumble and complain about the rain. I speak to myself that first and foremost. Give thanks for harvest. Is it not harvest time or just been? Have we thanked God for him? Or just, yeah, of course there's going to be food. You just go to Maya. When you have been feasting at the Lord's table spiritually, or in a fellowship meal today, or when you're with yourself individually, or with your family around the table, or your Thanksgiving meal, or family meals, or what have you, and your heart is full of gladness, it's a great day, it's wonderful, I'm enjoying it, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. If God gives you everything, anything, every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above, James 1:17. Everything you receive, that mail, it was a card, it was a letter, something in the mail, oh praise be to God. You come home to your wife and something's happened in work, oh praise be to God. Oh dear sisters, something's going well. God's done something with you, your children, your family, something. Oh praise be to God. Everything give thanks. And give thanks when you're afflicted. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Give thanks when you suffer. Give thanks when you're persecuted. Give thanks when you're on trial. It's not to say you're thankful for suffering. Suffering is due to sin in a sin-fallen world. But when God sends it, he uses it for good. Not to say that, oh, it's wonderful, we're being tried and persecuted. No. But he uses it for his glory. David here is saying, I'm thankful for my afflictions. They do me good so that I would learn your statutes, Lord. Whatever sin is in me, whether it is that pride or unthankfulness or taking things for granted or spiritual laziness or lust or whatever sin in your life, God comes. Or maybe God says, I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm going to increase your faith, love, and joy. Therefore, I'm sending a trial. In the midst of it, you thank God. As Romans 5 says, we glory in tribulations, that's sufferings. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I'm sure as we heard the testimony on Friday night from a dear sister, that it's in the midst of struggles, seeking God, he brings his peace and his love in a very particularly beautiful and strong way. And I'm sure people in this room can testify there's been times in their lives they were deeply suffering or deeply in trials or deeply persecuted. And those were the times when most of all, Christ was present. And so thank God for your trials. Thank him for everything. How do we give thanks? We've already stated it, spiritually at least, that our hearts are thankful because we have faith, love, appreciation, and gratitude. But now we need to declare it to God. How do we give thanks to God? Worshipping him. That's where it starts. Psalm 100:4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Public worship, family worship, private worship. Thanksgiving must be rendered this morning and this evening. Did you passively worship God, or are you actively worshipping God? And are you actively coming, and as you're singing psalms and praying and remembering the Lord's death till he comes, thanking God? This is why preparation for worship is essential. Don't think just because I'm a Christian, therefore I automatically worship. Ecclesiastes 5:1 is clear. Keep thy foot before you enter. Do you know who you approach? And so before coming to worship, Saturday night, Sabbath morning, if we're remembering whom we are approaching, what he has done for us, and how good he is overall, we will be prepared in our hearts, and we will enter his courts with thanksgiving. So every Sabbath morning, afternoon, Saturday evening, prepare yourself so you come to hear with thanksgiving to God. We give thanksgiving to God through prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Be anxious for nothing, but pray unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will keep your heart through Jesus Christ. As we mentioned earlier, what are we to pray? What the parts of prayer acts as a wonderful help? Adoration, confession of sin, thanksgiving, supplication. So in your prayers, thank him. Thank him for everything. Thank him for temporal things. Thank him for spiritual things. Thank him for eternal things. People say, I struggle to pray. I sit down, I'm standing up, I'm on my knees, I don't know what to pray for. Give thanks. You'll be complaining because you don't have enough time, not that you can hardly pray. Just think of everything. Think of your dear wife. Think of your dear husband. Think of your children. Think of your salvation. Think of heaven and hell. Think about the magistrate, 1 Timothy 2:1, that we're to give thanks for all men, including kings. And burst forth in your prayer life with thanking God. This will bring great vibrancy to your soul. How wonderful and great is my God, and I thank him. We also thank God by singing psalms to him. Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Ephesians chapter 5, it's wonderful. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit's presence, influence, power, fellowship in your life. How do you know you are filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You sing psalms. And what do you do as you're filled with the Spirit and singing psalms? Giving thanks always. Do you sing psalms? Do you sing psalms only when you're supposed to sing psalms, i.e. when you come to prayer meeting or public worship? What about outside of family worship and outside of public worship? Do you sing praise to God? You should, brother, and you should, sister. Are you not thankful? Are you not brimming with joy? Are you not grateful for the wonders of the glories of the gospel? Then give thanks by singing praise to God. Buy yourself a psalter. Go to Crown and Covenant Publications, purchase the psalter, and sing it. Memorize it. When you're wandering down the streets, or you're in a field, or in a park, and just a thought or a truth comes to your soul, and you burst out with a psalm. Or when your family's surrounded, and you're discussing something, and God's being good, take out the psalters, and praise Him with his psalms, giving thanks always. Sing psalms and be thankful. Give thanks by evangelizing. Psalm 18:49, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I am so filled with gratitude for God, I cannot but tell the heathen about it. I am so thrilled with justification by faith alone, and I see neighbour, family member, friend, work colleague going to hell. I cannot but give thanks by telling them of how thankful I am for the grace of Jesus Christ. Give thanks by fulfilling your vows. Psalm 50 verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Vows are solemn promises to God, and we give thanks by fulfilling them. You've taken vows. If you're married, you've taken vows. Today in the modern world, too many people want to make, oh, how much I love you sentences. They're not vows. Vows and promises to God for what you will do for man and wife. And you have marriage vows, and we give thanks by fulfilling them. B.B. Warfield, the great theologian of the 20th century, he got married to his young wife, and he had a bit of a study leave and honeymoon at the same time. He went, I think it was Germany or Switzerland, can't remember right now, and he was going to do further studies, and at the same time in a honeymoon. And they went up to the mountains, I think it was the mountains of the forests, with his wife. And on their honeymoon, his wife was struck by lightning and she was an invalid for the rest of her life. And when they returned to Princeton, B.B. Warfield made sure he was never more than 2 hours away from his wife. He got up in the morning, he looked after her, he fed her, he washed her, he cared for her. He went out to the seminary and taught for 2 hours, then he returned straight back and he looked after his wife for the rest of his day. That's a man who gave thanks by fulfilling his vows. And I challenge myself in that. And I challenge you, men and women, give thanks to God by fulfilling your vows. And if you're a member of the church, you've taken vows too. And I would implore you, tonight or tomorrow, go read your membership vows and give thanks to God by fulfilling your vows. See when you're a wee bit, you're not doing as well as you should. Something you're neglecting. Is it your faith in the Trinity, the faith in Christ? Is it the forsaking of sin and repentance? Is it your giving to the Lord? Is it keeping the Sabbath day? Is it growing in word and prayer? Is it attending the sacraments? Is it seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all the relationships of life? Is it seeking to win others? Whatever it is, give thanks by fulfilling your vows. And remember, this is all through the grace of Jesus Christ. He has condemned sin in the flesh. He's delivered us from the spirit of life, and we're enabled to give thanks and enabled to do it with godly, holy, evangelical obedience. So let us not just say, I feel thankful. Let us biblically give thanks, and it will be profitable and joyful and lovely and increasing to our faith. Let us pray.